Finvold Financial Group.
News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, along with Sam, 651-989-5855. That is the phone number. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. People do.
People have.
People oddly, well, people do.
People are.
We'll leave it at that. If you want to see some interesting tweets this morning, I would suggest using the hashtag TCNT.
I can't see the most interesting ones because they sadly have me blocked.
I had some people muted, but after the no collusion revelation, I unmuted a bunch of people just so I can go and shove it in their face. I'm good at being honest.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? You've been throwing this garbage at us for 2 years. I'm throwing it right back at you.
I don't think there's anything wrong whatsoever with a good 24-48 hour period of schadenfreude.
Man,
you know, like I said, Republicans, I think, have earned a good 24 to 48 hours of consequence-free gloating.
And Trump should get everything he wants now.
Thrilled to be joined in studio. There's regular Tuesday visits, normally at 8:35 over the phone. Not this week. We are in studio and a little earlier with friend of the show, Pete Hegseth from Fox News.
Thank you for having me. You're right. Dancing on graves is underrated.
Right?
Yeah. Take the moment, own it, soak it up, let it happen.
Especially when the wounds were so self-inflicted.
Yes.
The wounds of the mainstream media that they are dealing with as the fallout from this investigation wrapping up were all self-inflicted. Basic journalistic standards could have avoided most of the nonsense.
Yes.
That we've been dealing with. I mean, the investigation, probably still would have happened, probably still would have gone on. You still had bad actors in the DOJ and in the FBI that used this fake dossier to get FISA warrants and so on and so forth. But the mainstream media, the journalists could have done a much better job in covering this.
They didn't do their job at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't call them, by the way, the mainstream media at all anymore. I think we should stop using that phrase completely. They're not. What's mainstream about these guys?
Yeah.
They're extreme, saying if they're mainstream. Then what are we? Then we're right-wing lunatics?
Yeah.
No, they're not mainstream. They're leftists. That's who they are. That's who they all are. So they're the legacy media or the so-called mainstream media or the left-wing media. They're in the tank for hating average Joes who love their country, who are patriots, who believe in, we shouldn't kill babies and we should have our guns and we should, people should be able to choose what school they go to. Basic conservative ideals. It's Mediagate is what it should be known as, is a scandal of the media. They'll never get it. They won't.
No.
They can't get it. They're too invested. They'll find another pivot.
This raises an interesting. I told Drew before the show started. I was actually after the first segment. I like this show, these shows, more than I like the show right after the big event. Right? The show right after the big sort of nationwide, whatever it is, election, you name it,
yep,
is always a little bit more difficult. You're kind of still in it. You've got to work through it. It's all anybody wants to talk about, but you haven't really had time to digest it. You get into today, and this is when I really enjoy doing these shows, sort of when you had a day to sort of let it sit. Where do you land on Robert Mueller at this point in time? I was listening to, and I was patiently waiting for the podcast to show up from Dan Bongino, frequent guest on Fox and Friends, who's just been fantastic, is beyond
absolutely
when it comes to covering this. And he made a great point right out of the gate. He's like, look, when it comes to the Mueller report and Mueller didn't exonerate Trump. Trump exonerated Trump. This never should have happened in the first place. Where do you land on Mueller at this point in time? Because the question that he raised was rather fascinating. He's like, how long did Mueller know this? He's like, they should have known this a year ago, if not before a year ago, and how long were they sitting on it? So I'm just curious to get your thoughts based off of what we have on Robert Mueller himself.
Apparently, Mueller knew he wasn't going to charge Trump with obstruction 3 weeks ago. We heard this yesterday on Twitter and elsewhere. So for 3 weeks, he had known, or excuse me, the White House had known that Mueller was not going to push obstruction. If he's letting the White House know that, how long has he known that there was no collusion or a crime? And by the way, you can't obstruct something you didn't do.
Right.
Right.
That's the biggest nonsense. The left in CNN, they're still talking about, did he obstruct it? Wait, if he didn't collude, and that's not even a crime to begin with, and there was no conspiracy, what the hell is he obstructing?
Right.
He's obstructing of an investigation he knows to be false. It's the level of stupidity. And I got stuck watching MSNBC for like 3 minutes yesterday at the St. Paul Hotel. Yeah, it was absurd.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, it was Ben Rhodes. And anyway, they still lay out, look at all the indictments, 34 indictments. And it's like, well, 26 of those Bubbas were Russians.
Right.
Who will never see the light of day at all. Find me the Russians. And Rush said this. It's a total copy from Rush Limbaugh yesterday. Find me the Russians. Who are they? Let's do something about it. And then the rest of them did shady business deals in like the 90s. Or they were approached by Russians and didn't take the bait. Hopefully, there's so nothing there. Yet, to your point, it's almost you want to throw your hands up and say, are you people serious today? And they take themselves very seriously.
They tried to get Trump into that trap of, we're going to accuse you of all these horrible things. We're going to accuse you of being a foreign agent. We're going to accuse you of treason. And then, the same thing they did with Kavanaugh, then when you defend yourself, because you know you didn't do those things, when you defend yourself, we're going to say, wow, you sure are acting guilty. you're so angry at these, when you're defending yourself, it just really seems like you're guilty the way you're acting.
No, it's true. They
did the same thing with Kavanaugh.
Well, they're like,
Kavanaugh
how
of being a gang rapist and leading a gang rape cabal in his high school, and then when he got emotional in his defense, his temperament. And I just don't know.
You know what we need to learn as conservatives? Brett Kavanaugh is a Supreme Court justice today. Donald Trump is the president today, and will be for 2 more years, and he'll get reelected.
Yeah.
forget about what they have to say. The haters are going to hate, and the left-wing media is going to do what they do every day. Let them do it.
Don't forget about it. Fight back.
Fight back.
That's been the big failure of conservatives on the national stage for a long time.
Think about whether Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan could endure 10 seconds of what Trump's endured.
Right.
They're good. Not even close.
No.
Yeah. It's not even close.
Fight back.
That's harder than they fight you, because that is the left's playbook.
Because if you try to play along, if you try to apologize, if you try to say, oh gosh, these things, saying all these terrible things about me, I need to go out there and demonstrate what a nice person I am, they're still going to hate you.
They are.
They're still going to hate you just as much as they always have.
Do you anticipate that we're going to see another chapter on this coming the other direction? When you look at, and I'll give you one example. You had Rod Rosenstein at the DOJ. He signed off on the fourth version of the FISA warrant.
Yep.
He also put his name on the letter substantiating the Robert Mueller claim that there was no collusion. So does one not go and refute the other?
He also recommended Comey be fired.
Right. So I mean, is there going to be another chapter in this? Do you see congressional Republicans? Do you see, Nunes and others trying to go and hold people accountable for this complete and utter sham?
I hope so. You know, Nunes won't get his chance because the House is controlled by Nancy. So it'll be Lindsey Graham, which is equally entertaining, more entertaining. Frankly.
Well, we've said it many times that post, and no disrespect, John McCain.
Yeah,
I'd like me some Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham has come out of his shell.
He's liberated. It's true.
No disrespect. I knew the man, but be that as it may, this version of Lindsey Graham is a lot more palatable.
Absolutely. Listen, I have investigation fatigue. Like, I think everyone does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done enough already. Stop. But I think, again, to the Trump, you can't have that fatigue. That's what the left wants us to think. That's how they, okay, it's all, no, now is, I think now is time for reckoning. I really do. I think we need to haul these nothings in front of committees.
Right.
Subpoena them under oath. Strzok, Page, Andy McCabe, John Brennan, any of them, all of them involved at the origins of this. What did you know? What was your basis? Was it really this dossier that you knew was bunk? You knew it was bunk from the beginning. And then you pushed for a special counsel to be formed that you knew was bunk. It's almost like they believed their own lie and did it to justify themselves. They should be held to account for that.
I do think that there was a bit of a snowball effect with this. I think it got out of control. It got out of their hands. You know, remember, this was all opposition research. This was all done in the attempt to kind of put the nail in the coffin of the Trump campaign and let Hillary, you know, ascend to her rightful place as president of the United States. When that didn't happen, and then this dossier started getting spread around and handed to the FBI and covered, there was a bit of a snowball effect. And I think if you could go back in time and you could let Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of these high profile powerful Democrats sort of rewrite history, they probably would have never gone down this path, because it has been an absolute failure.
I hope you're right. You're right. I mean, we like to think, and I've seen this before, we like to think there's a bunch of puppet masters pulling strings in D.C.
No,
they're actually not that smart.
No,
they're really not. And they text and they do all the dumb stuff that regular people do, and they got caught, and they thought they could be too cute by half because Hillary Clinton was going to win. So it was almost like they're having fun with it. We'll get after Trump a little bit. Yeah. But then he won, and then it was on. And I think that they lost control of it from there. And watching Tony Podesta on MSNBC yesterday, Tony Podesta was a business partner with Paul Manafort.
Yes.
He's more guilty than Manafort. And he's on MSNBC explaining what's going on. And they're doing it with a straight face.
What can you pull the curtain back a little bit? I'm genuinely curious, and I was planning on asking Katie the same question later in the week, but I'm genuinely curious what things are like working over at Fox News in the middle of all of this. I mean, there's got to be, I don't want to say vindication, I don't know if that's the right word, but there's got to be a certain level of pride in the way that you guys have covered all this. And this is not me showering Fox News with a bunch of, you know, niceties, but it is to say that when it comes to the coverage of this issue, you know, Fox News has done it better than anybody else. And I'm just curious, you know, what the talk has been since the Mueller report's come out.
It's fun. You know, it starts with text messages with producers about it. You know how it goes.
This,
what should we cover? What
I texted
should we not?
Katie. I was what a world.
I know. And with the hosts. And at one point, I turned to Katie this weekend and I said, and Dave, the stage manager, was there with us. And I said, we get paid for this. I get paid to sit on this couch and talk.
Yeah.
It's insane. And you guys get paid to be here and talk. And on a weekend like this, we didn't have the report yet, but you kind of felt
you
like
knew
it
where
was
it was
coming.
Going. Yeah.
It's just, it is a vindication. In fact, I scratched out the headline of the failing New York Times and wrote Trump vindicated and held it up on screen. Like, this is what the headline should be, but it won't be for the New York Times. You start to realize a little bit that if not for Fox and certain hours on Fox, no one's going to talk about it. It's and besides talk radio and podcasts and places and the internet where truth does live, if it doesn't live on Fox, it's not heard.
Yeah.
MSNBC, it's gone. And that's amazing to think. We have this great free country, and there's like 7 hours out of the day where you're hearing the other side at all. And so days like yesterday and today, I mean, I'm watching right now. I could see Steve Bryan and Ainsley. I mean, you have to just ram it home and not be afraid to say, listen, we were right.
Well, and I know from our perspective, and I'll speak for me, but I'm sure that Drew agrees, you know, beyond sort of the vindication of a president that you voted for, I know that I take a certain level of pride going, yeah, man, you know what? We did a good job these past 2 years in covering this issue. We did a good job of not falling into the traps on either side. Not saying that he was completely innocent. Wait for the investigation to come out and the results to come out. And it's moments like yesterday where you sit back and go, wow, I'm really glad at the work that we did, and the way that we covered it, and this allows us the opportunity to gloat and throw it back in the faces of those irrational, ridiculous individuals that want to take time out to try to come at us for not seeing the forest for the trees, send them pictures of them, you know, plates full of crow.
But to your point, I think if Mueller had come out with like bombshell evidence that Trump was totally compromised, secret tapes and recordings that he's in the pocket of, like, we would have been like, wow, that's bad.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he needs to go. That's not okay.
That. Yeah, we said that on the show a number of times. If the Mueller investigation were to come out and it proves that Trump did indeed collude, is guilty of all of these accusations, then he needs to go and he needs to step down. Not only because that act in and of itself is bad and warrants him stepping down as president, but how loudly and vociferously he defended himself over the last 2 years. You know, if everything that he tweeted and said about this investigation was an outright lie and he knew the entire time that he was indeed guilty of all of these things, he absolutely needs to go.
You're such a foolishly fair-minded person.
That is the such left an accurate would
never,
assessment.
Would never do that.
I know they
the left would never, ever do that.
Which is why I will never be.
I know. We're stuck. We're stuck.
Can we play this again just real quick? This was CNN Brian Stelter talking to Michael Avenatti.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I agree with you. I don't know if it's a good thing that star power and TV savvy is required for the job, but I think it is. And
I'm
by
so
the way,
impressed
I think
with
President
you.
Obama also had a lot of TV star power, and that helped him pre-Trump. But Trump is more evidence of this. And looking ahead to 2020, one reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
Which is so ironic because he's the one putting him on cable news. It's because I invite you on my show. That's why I take you seriously. Pete Hegseth, I take you seriously.
Because you're on my
because
show.
Because we invited you on
this
show.
Microphone.
That's right.
Point of order. Like, I don't know who called him the nation's hall monitor, but they're right. I mean, he's like, I'm Brian Stelter. I will deem you serious now. You're a serious person. What in the world?
All right, coming up, more with Fox News Pete Hegseth in studio. We'll switch gears a bit. We'll take your phone calls, of course, 651-989-5855. Got a couple of articles here. One in regards to Ilhan Omar, the Star Tribune, asking desperately if Ilhan Omar can turn the page on her controversies. Also, out of the Star Tribune, what voters across the U.S. are learning about Senator Amy...
Radio station.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back. Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. We are looking forward to being joined by Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka here coming up in the next segment. But for now, we've got Pete Hegseth from Fox News joining us in studio for a special appearance on this Tuesday.
Can you ask him what they're doing in the Senate?
I know, right?
This bill?
Yeah.
I mean.
We were the Minnesota from Sam's Top 5 this morning. The Senate added an amendment to the ban on using cell phones while driving that would exempt those who place their phone to their ear using a scarf, hijab, or other article of clothing from the penalty.
And before anybody starts to jump on, you know, the expected bandwagon, this has nothing to do with it being a hijab. This has to do with the act of what causes distracted driving.
Right.
Is it's not holding the phone against your ear. That is not what is distracting you. It's the looking at the phone, the dialing, the pulling things up on your map, the skipping ahead in your podcast or finding the next song you want to play or text messaging. Those are the things that we're trying to avoid. The ability to tuck your phone into a piece of clothing does not lessen the distracted driving. So it shows you that this bill is hollow and empty and pure style over substance.
It's lunacy. I want in on your headband company.
Right? Because
well, it's really a wristband, Pete. Well,
but
it's
for
be
your
tight,
head.
Tight fit.
See, Pete gets it.
I get it.
You understand.
I'm in.
That's already a thing.
It's already a thing. Just... It's all about the branding from here on out. It's a winner.
It's like wristbands, but for your head. Excellent slogan, you guys.
I got another idea. It's like gloves, but for your feet.
Here's what I want to know, though.
Call them socks.
Easiest vote of all time.
If I do that and I get pulled over, am I going to be, this is going to be worded wonky, but is it going to be like reverse profiling? Like, I know you're not wearing that for any other purpose. Right?
You must be a Justice and Drew listener.
Right? Is there going to be this sort? No, you can't. No, you're just doing that to make a point. It's like, no, that's the law. I can shove it
in my trucker hat.
In my sweatband on my head. So stupid.
I know, but these guys and gals that we send to St. Paul, they vote for this stuff.
Yeah.
They come up with it. The state Senate is controlled by Republicans. Mm-hmm. Ask Paul Gazelka. Listen, he's a nice guy. I've met him a couple times. Seems fine. What is he doing?
Yeah, I don't understand. Why is there this exemption and why is this okay and why does the person using that get to get off the hook?
Yeah, I'm going to die typing in my address on Google Maps. I'm pretty sure, eventually. Hopefully I take no one else with me. Like, we all have been distracted while driving. What you're wearing on your head has nothing to do with that.
That's the least distracted part of the whole thing, is when, once the phone is to your ear, whether you're holding it or whether it's tucked into a piece of clothing.
That's when I'm like, okay, now I can pay attention. Who's on the road? You know, it's those 15 right. seconds of like, I'm kind of looking, but I'm not. And then once you're talking, you're good.
So why can't I hold the phone? If people are allowed to tuck it into a piece of clothing, why am I not allowed to hold it with my hand? That's ridiculous.
And I would be way more stressed out with it tucked into a piece of clothing on my head. Like, I would just be waiting for, again, feeling it slip, you know, as my ear got sweaty.
Constantly tucking it
right.
back up.
That's why you need a wristband.
Can you, but for your head,
you catch all the sweat.
Can you tuck in more than one? Can I do one on each ear?
Oh boy!
Let's just see how many phones you can get into your wristband for your head.
Five phones shoved into my headband around my head, and I will drive that way to and from.
You know, next Tuesday I might do the whole interview with it tucked into my headband.
You should totally do that.
Can I do that?
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! So.
Well, I was going to say, curious to get your perspective, you know, coming from, we've talked about this with you before, coming from a national platform on Fox News. The Amy Klobuchar campaign continues on, surprisingly, even though she's got zero chance. The Star Tribune writes, what voters across the U.S. are learning about Senator Amy Klobuchar. And as far as I can tell, it's basically that she exists.
No. And what are they learning?
That how she's to the pronounce most her name.
Boring human on earth.
Right?
If you had to pay $100, would you spend an hour with Amy Klobuchar?
No.
No. What if she paid you $100?
No.
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 No. Like, there's no part of Amy Klobuchar that's interesting.
Let me take that. If I could record the hour. Yes.
Well, okay, hold on.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Well, I'm with you on that. That's one. Are there binders in the room?
Or a salad.
Or a salad. And is there a utensil? What about Nair?
That's what they know about. That's all they know about.
Just, those all matter.
There's some caveats in that for sure.
That's why you guys are the pros.
Do you get the sense that she's getting any traction in her presidential campaign whatsoever?
Not even close. I mean, she's not Kamala Harris, who's way more dynamic and checks more boxes. And she's not Bernie Sanders, because he's the real deal. She's a total nothing burger. You know, she's like last week's potluck still in the basement in a
leftover
Lutheran church. Like, she's not interesting. And she's never done anything substantial in the Senate. She's played it safe. She does all these press conferences for issues that people didn't know they cared about until they reminded them that they should care about it. And suddenly we should take her seriously as someone that should lead the free world? Like, voters are not that dumb, and she's not that interesting. So she will stay at 1%. She'll be they'll flirt with talk of her as a VP possibility, although no one would pick her for VP ever. So she'll raise her profile a little bit, and she'll stay in the Senate.
And we mentioned this at the start of the show. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it, because for one, the Democrats already are losing this battle of the 2020 election just based off the candidates who are running and how crazy they all are. On top of that, now you've lost the ability to really argue Trump and Russia collusion anymore based off the Mueller report. I'm of the opinion too that while, you know, mainstream sort of average doing that thing with my fingers, Democrat voters would probably like to see somebody a little bit more moderate. I think the narrative moving forward, I mentioned earlier, is that the Democrats are going to be out for blood now. I think they're going to want revenge. I mean, we saw how they continued to act and what happened to Trump in the wake of losing the election that they thought was so inevitable for Hillary Clinton. They also thought that this was all going to happen when it came to Mueller. And I think that they're going to push it even further. Because you already saw yesterday, it was, oh, the referendum's going to be 2020. The voters will decide in 2020 whether they want to hold him accountable.
We'll impeach him at the ballot box.
Right. But I don't think the majority of the mainstream Democrat voters feel that way, but that's what's going to be. There's going to be this sense of we need revenge on what's happened.
But I think we talk about electability, and that's why people want to look at Joe Biden. If you talk to rank-and-file Democrats, which I have the... They believe that purity on issues equals electability. It's the same blinders that conservatives can sometimes have, which I don't love this whole, he's electable. It's such nonsense. It actually isn't true. They think that Bernie Sanders is electable. Bernie Sanders voters, that's one of the biggest arguments they make.
I know.
Is that Bernie's real. Bernie's authentic. We can vote for him. Joe Biden, I just don't think he can pass the litmus test of the left. There's just wait till he's asked whether he's for Medicare for all. Does he want to tear the wall down or not? Is he for the Green New Deal?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a socialist or not? I mean, all of the any way he answers, he loses.
Right.
So I just think they're totally stuck.
He'll be honest.
And being honest is being out of step with the MoveOn.org wing of the party, which owns the party right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why 9 Democrats didn't go to AIPAC, because MoveOn.org said you should boycott it. So I said, okay. MoveOn.org is the soul of the Democrat Party today. Today. Mm-hmm. They're not a fringe group. They own it. Them and CARE and Justice Democrats. And all. That is, it's not the folks that live in Minnesota who are Democrats.
Right.
But the soul of the party that controls who gets elected, where the money goes, where the priorities go, that's where it is. And I think you'll see more Democrats saying, where did my party go?
And that's why Amy Klobuchar is not going to get any more traction either.
Yeah. Because she's not Ilhan Omar. She's not AOC.
Right.
And that's, I think ultimately that's who, like the core of the Democrat Party, that's who they want. They want your Ilhan Omars, they want your AOCs, and they want your Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
And those people could never win a nationwide election.
Nope. So
not a chance. When you mentioned, if he answers those questions honestly of is he a socialist, does he support the Green New Deal, he'll say yes, and he'll say yes, and then the majority of Americans will see that and go, I can't vote for him.
Yeah, where's Uncle Joe? Person. Where's the normal guy I thought I knew? Yeah.
Yeah, they were mean to Trump. So, it's another 4 years.
Can you just fast forward for a second, play a thought game? Can you imagine what will happen to their minds when he gets elected in 2020?
I know.
I mean, it will be...
My biggest concern continues to be, based off of how the left has behaved, and we keep using the same examples, but they work. You look at Kavanaugh, you look at what happened to Trump, you look at the Covington kids just as an example. My fear is, how are they going to position and view the average voter going to vote for Trump at the polls? I mean, Trump's name and image alone is violent to people.
Yeah.
What is it going to be like on election day when people actually go to vote for him again?
Well, can you see those CNN reporters being like, how are you, who are you voting for?
Like, it's just, and Drew mentioned it earlier, and I totally agree. There's more reason now than ever to vote for Trump. Especially with what just happened.
Way more than election day.
Yeah.
Way more.
I think a lot of Trump skeptics, people that supported him and voted for him, but were not crazy about it, were very skeptical, concerned. I mean, he's done a lot to alleviate those concerns.
The courts for 50 years will never look the same.
No,
just what he's done with judges alone.
Yeah.
And not just Supreme Court, just throughout the district circuit, And Mitch McConnell finally brought his big boy pants, and he's helped him out too. So it is, we should be thankful.
I think the only reason why a skeptical conservative who couldn't find himself to support Trump going forward would remain that way is if it really just boils down to the personality. Like, you just don't like his character. And if that's the case, that's the case. That is not going to change. He's not going to change.
Well, then find me your glass house, because you ain't perfect either.
Yeah.
Like, forget about it.
And he's toned it way down, too.
He has, but like...
It's true.
May we not be the first one to cast the stone.
Right.
None of us are perfect.
Right.
He owns his imperfections on his sleeve.
You're exactly right. He may not be honest about a lot of things, but he's honest about his imperfections.
Yes.
He's honest about who he is.
We all should be. By the way, Donald Trump...
And the other person that you would consider voting for, they're probably worse.
And they hide it.
And they just hide it.
And they pretend they're better than you.
Pete Hegseth, this has been an absolute blast.
Thank you, man.
Love having you.
We'll
in
do it more often.
Yeah, we definitely should.
651-989-5855. Thanks for coming in, Pete. Coming up, we will talk with Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka. We'll ask him about the our headband idea. And I'm sure he's looking forward to that.
But first, here is your Minnesota Moment with Minnesota's Mr. Right, Jason Lewis.
Hi, this is Jason Lewis, and it's time for today.
0.5 FM.
AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back, your Tuesday edition of Justice, Andrew. Very much enjoyed having Pete Hegseth in studio. Look forward to doing that again for certain. If you missed any of it, make sure to grab the iHeartRadio app and follow the Justice and Drew channel on the podcast page to catch anything you might have missed.
DFL leaders set budget targets yesterday. The proposed spending increases include $900 million for U-12 education, $305 million for higher education, $121 million for public safety. Some of the specific elements include tuition freeze, health insurance discounts, gun safety measures, and a partridge in a pear tree. All going to cost everybody a lot of money.
They want all your money.
Yes.
Yeah, so, not even part of it anymore.
Nope.
All of it. They'll take your whole paycheck, and then they'll dole back a little bit for you to get by on.
We have a surplus, right, Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka? That's still there, right? We haven't spent that away, right?
Well, good morning, first of all. But secondly, holy cow, it was just like, does anybody not want to be fiscally responsible?
Yeah. I'll be honest, I've never looked at, regardless of where I lived, normally you see some sense of sanity and rational, even with budgets that you don't normally approve them. This, what's being proposed now since Governor Tim Walz, you know, took over is frightening, in my opinion. I'm not going to lie. What they want to lay out and the amount of money that they want to take from individuals like me, you, Drew, and Sam, it's ridiculous, and it's a bit frightening.
Well, and then you look at the economic signals that could be pointing to a downturn. And if you're an individual, there's no way, if you thought you were going to have less money, that you would just go out and have a spending binge. You would look at your budget and you'd say, hey, we better tighten the belt here and be careful. But they're doing the opposite. They're saying, let's spend more, let's raise more taxes, and we'll all be fine. And that is like the exact opposite direction we should be going.
Is there any, do you see any room for compromise on this? I mean, you know, they seem to be, specifically Governor Walz, but also the House DFL, they seem to be employing the strategy of shoot for the moon, and then any sort of, you know, cutbacks we can make on these wildly outrageous proposals that we put out there, that can be viewed as a compromise.
Yeah, and that felt like some of the strategy. And you know, we'll pick a budget they want, and we'll go in the middle. And that's just not how the Senate Republicans work. We did lightheartedly, in some ways, say, okay, let's have a 20% gas tax reduction. Senator Andrew Matthews did that, which I loved. And so you put that one in the middle with Governor Walz's 20% tax increase, and so we're at zero. And so, you know, I mean, but the fact is, we're going to have to put out a budget. We're going to show that you can balance the budget without raising taxes, and it'll be a fight to the end, and that's politics. But at the same time, I am concerned about the spending that they are putting forth, because it's just not realistic. And more tax increases when you're already number three or four of all taxes combined, Minnesota, I'm talking about. You know, I don't want to be number one there. Let's try to, you know, aim to get out of the top 10, but they're on a different path.
My other fear with this is that, and I'm curious if you think there's some truth to this, is, you know, they're aiming really high, but the expectation is they know they're not going to get as much as they want. But even if they get a little bit of what they want, it's still bad. Do you get that sense that there's some trial ballooning going on here, where they're shooting way higher than they know that they can reasonably get? Or do you believe they really think they're going to get all this?
I hope they don't think they're going to get all of it. I hope, I've asked some of the folks on the other side, you better lower your expectations, because we're not going to give in. And I thought maybe they thought we would on some of that stuff, the gas tax or, you know, recreational marijuana or whatever. You know, in the end, we're all responsible to pass the balanced budget in Minnesota. You know, at the national level, they don't have to do that. They just, you know, keep spending. But that is our responsibility in Minnesota. And so I think all of us will take that seriously. And so hopefully at the end, they'll realize that, you know, you don't get all your things, your promises to everybody, but you do have to pass a budget that works. And so, in the end, that's a win for Minnesota. You know, my hope is that we can stop every tax increase, every fee increase. I don't know where the end is going to be, but, you know, unfortunately they have everything but the Senate, and so it makes it a little bit tougher, but we've got to hold them responsible, and that'll be my mission.
Yeah, I mean, you're the only real stopgap, you know, to scale back, you know, some of these spending plans and these taxing plans. It blows me away. I mean, it really does. How much of our money do they think they need? It's crazy to me that Governor Walz, you know, coming off of the Dayton administration where we saw historic tax increases across the board, we saw historic, you know, increases in spending across the board under Governor Dayton, and then Governor Walz comes in and he wants to accelerate it. I mean, I, at what point do they have enough of our money?
Yeah, and under Governor Dayton, the one time that he really, really increased spending was when they had a two-year period of having the House, Senate, Governor under Democrat hands, and then it was a tax and spending plan sort of like what you're seeing right now. The good news is they don't have that this time, so we can tap back all or most of that, and that's where we need to be. So,
what kind of support is there right now for the gas tax? I know that Drew, you tweeted, I couldn't believe the editorial board cartoon yesterday where they continue to try to tie in the 20-cent increase to the pothole situation when one's got nothing to do with the other. But I'm curious where support is right now for that.
It feels like Senate Republicans have zero support for it. Yeah. You know, I tell people if it was about the potholes, then you didn't have to do all the roundabouts and light rail. Let's, you know, stop that and, you know, fix the potholes. But what I will say is we remind people that 2 years ago, for the first time in over a decade, Republicans passed new money towards transportation spending. We took half the sales tax on auto parts that was just going into the general fund to be spent anywhere, and we put it towards roads and bridges. Without raising taxes, we put more money towards roads and bridges, and that's continuing on. That's, you know, that's until somebody would change that. And so I remind people, we've got new money, and we don't need a big gas tax. We don't need a tab fee increase. We don't need an increase on sales tax when you buy a car to fix the potholes. I just say, let's just fix the potholes.
Yeah, the money's there to fix the potholes. The potholes get fixed every single year. The potholes get bad every single year. I mean, there's just this is part of the life cycle of Minnesota. You have your pothole season as winter starts to die down, as spring starts to come on, and they get filled, and we move on.
And they are bad. I mean, I'm not driving right now because I'm going to hit too many potholes. You hear my jittery voice as I'm going over a bunch of potholes. I'll just not drive and do this first.
St. Paul looks like a war zone. I had to go there a couple times in the past week. It looks absolutely dystopian over there. I do want to, while we got a couple minutes left, we talked about this earlier in Sam's Top 5. The Senate approved the ban on using a cell phone while driving. They approved the House bill, voted 56-10, but they added the amendment that would exempt those who place a phone to their ear using a scarf, hijab, or another article of clothing. That really kind of takes away the effectiveness of a bill like this, because the distracted part doesn't come once the phone is up against your ear and you're having a conversation. The distracted part is the looking at the phone. What was the motivation behind adding this amendment?
Well, Senator Bobby Joe Champion tried to add the amendment, was defeated, and then he tried a different way to add the amendment, and a handful of Republicans voted with all Democrats to allow that amendment on. I was a no vote on that. I just felt like that, I felt like it didn't help the bill. And it gave special privileges to folks that want to put it in their the scarf or what other piece of clothing. I just thought it defeats the purpose. But it did get on the bill. We'll see what happens in conference committee. you know, I was focused on the hands-free part of it. I felt like, you know, the bill itself was worth moving forward. But, you know, I'm not sure where that's going to go, but that's why it went on, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, in my opinion, if you're trying to give people a reason to argue against it, adding something like that is all you need to do, because it runs completely counter to what the to what the bill is supposed to be doing. And I think, and I just, it, to me, it seems irrational or intellectually dishonest for anybody to include that and think that it is in line with the spirit of what this is supposed to go and do. It really is. It really is ridiculous.
Well, I agree with you. How do you like that?
I'll take it.
Defend. You know, just sometimes the majority of voters moves the direction I don't think we should go. And in this particular case, like I said, I think it was a handful of Republicans and every Democrat to put on a something that I felt, you know, it did move the opposite direction, and it was for, I think, different reasons that it's on there, but. We'll see what the final bill looks like that gets to the governor's desk.
Senator Paul Gazelka, thank you so much for your time. Always enjoy our chats, and we will catch up with you again next Tuesday.
Sounds good.
Keep up the good work.
Coming up, we'll take your phone call, 651-989-5855. We got a number of things to get to in the next hour. One, what in the world did the City Pages have against against Chris Lindahl?
They really, really don't like Chris Lindahl over the City Pages.
It's
very, very strange.
It's very odd. It's like
a couple of articles.
Yeah, it's like people on Twitter when it comes to us. It's really weird.
Maybe it's the same people.
Also, media's coverage of Mueller, it was a lot. And this is going to be fun. We have a list of all the old bombshells that weren't bombshells.